God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would repent and live. So how can we accomplish the difficult task of the ministry of the Word? Recognize there's a life and death responsibility. Life and death. Eternal life and death. Responsibility for those who share the Word.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, what's in your message today for us to learn from this portion of Scripture?
Well, Dave, for those of us who've chosen to serve the Lord and are serving Him by His power and strength, we realize that things are difficult, that this life is difficult when we choose to obey the Lord. And yet what we're going to see today is that the Lord empowers those who trust Him, that He empowers them to do exactly what He's called them to do, whether it's at church, whether it's at home with your family, whether it's at school or work. The Lord will strengthen you to do His will. Okay, well, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 22 to 27.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
There is a huge responsibility which we need to recognize for those who are called to share God's Word. And you need to pray for me. You need to pray for those who are called to do so. You're part of it. We're ministering together. You're part of it. We're a body. It's the body of Christ. Differing gifts, all to accomplish His will. You see, I'm called to preach His Word in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. We know that those who were faithful, we see in Scripture, such as Paul, didn't have any blood in their hands. They didn't have any blood. Paul would tell the Ephesian elders in his final words, he says, "Therefore I testify," Acts 20, verse 25, "to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel or purpose of God." That's what it's about. You declare God's word, you're innocent. You do not declare it, you have blood on your hands. And the Apostle Paul, even in sharing the gospel to those in Corinth and other places who didn't listen, he says, "Your blood be on your heads, I'm clean," when they didn't respond. It's on them. So Ezekiel's to warn the wicked. If he doesn't, the blood of them is on his hands. Now, we also saw what happens if Ezekiel does warn the wicked. Verse 19, "Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself." You are not personally responsible, Ezekiel, if they don't respond. You see, I think people are very prideful. They get into a prideful thought of their congregations that how they respond is based on what you say or do. And guess what? People can manipulate people really well with their words. And people will follow people and follow words rather than someone just declaring God's word and leaving it where it is. Yet, we see here, there's also another possibility we saw last week. Not just are there the wicked that Ezekiel will be ministering to, those exiles who would claim the name of the Lord, there's also those who are so-called righteous who stray. It says here in verse 20, "And again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness," notice it's his righteousness, "he appears to be righteous." You see, when you have the righteousness of Christ, he will manifest that in your behavior. We see that Abraham was righteous because he believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteous. Righteousness is a manifestation of a righteousness through faith. But there are those who have it for a while, but they stray from it. You see it. And he says here, "And commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin." Hey, righteous men don't die in their sin. This is a guy who appeared to be righteous but strayed because he really wasn't righteous. People, there's lots of people like that in church. They appear to be following the Lord. I'll tell you that right now. They appear to be righteous. But evidently their sin comes out eventually. And you better warn those, the speaking gifts, preaching. And so here it says, "He will die in his sin. His righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand." Ezekiel, if you don't warn him, it's on you now again. I would ask the pastors who are going to be listening here, can you say that you are innocent of the blood of all men? that you did not shrink back from declaring the whole council or anything that was profitable? Can you say that with a clear heart? If you can't, you need to get on your knees and repent. You need to step down from ministry and repent and let God restore you if that be the case. You need to get down from preaching the word because you failed and you have blood in your hands. But God's a gracious God. He forgives. I pray that you do so. I pray that you ask for forgiveness. So what happens if Ezekiel warns the righteous and they repent? Verse 21, however, if you warn the righteous man should not sin, and he does not sin, he surely shall live because he took warning. You have delivered yourself. Huge responsibility. So how can we endure the difficulties? First of all, if you know that it's difficult for me with this huge responsibility, you need to be praying for me, right? You need to be praying for those and praying for individual circumstances where God opens the door. You know, we call each other, we put prayer requests out. Hey, I'm going to share the Lord with so-and-so, whatever it might be. We need to be praying. It's a huge responsibility if the Lord is leading, right? A huge responsibility. Extremely serious. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would repent and live. So how can we accomplish the difficult task of the ministry of the word? To recognize there's a life and death responsibility. Life and death. Eternal life and death. It's a responsibility for those who share the word. And that brings us to our passage today, where I believe we're going to see four things. We're going to see four things that point to the fact that God empowers those who trust and obey. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Yep. Now, the first thing we're going to see is that obedience leads to an accurate view of God, or maybe better said, obedience takes away the obscurity of our view of God that is caused by sin. You see, when we're sinning, when we're not walking with the Lord, we're not seeing things rightly. And when we're walking rightly, that is removed and we see things rightly, especially the Lord in the context of how he has revealed himself in his word. Our passage, and the hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, get up and go out, verse 22, to the plain, then there I will speak to you. So I got up and I went out to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory which I saw by the river Shebar, and I fell on my face. So Ezekiel has been appointed as a watchman, and the hand of the Lord was on him there. We've seen this. We saw this back in chapter 1, verse 3. The hand of the Lord was on him. We see it in chapter 3, verse 14, same phrase. We see it throughout the book here. It speaks of God's supernatural power upon him, his supernatural hand upon him in a sense. We saw it when he was forcibly moved to where he would minister later on in chapter 48. We see it here when he is going to be moved to where he needs to be. We see his hand upon him very heavily the night before the Lord opened up his tongue in chapter 33. We see the hand of the Lord on him. It's a big deal. He is intervening in Ezekiel's life. And so we have this, and he said to me, get up and go out to the plain, there I will speak to you. Ezekiel's commanded to arise. Kum, arise and go. That's the word. Kum, get up. And God commands him to go to the valley, Baca, to the valley where he will speak to him. It says plain, but it's really the word for valley, I think, is a better translation. And this is interesting because he says, get up and go to the plain, and there I will speak to him. Wasn't he speaking to him there? Well, he wants to take him to a specific place to speak to him, and very specifically, he's going to speak to him in person. Here we have the Lord speaking to him, right? But we're going to have the Lord standing there speaking to him in the valley. He wants him to go. Now, the Lord could have spoke to him there, couldn't he? Or could speak to him anywhere. So why does he say, get up and go to the plain? Well, I think one thing we're going to see is that when we are serving the Lord is in control, and he tells us what to do. And we need to just do it. We need to just obey the word. Obey the word in your marriage. Obey the word at your work. Obey the word when you go in the world. Obey the word in the church. Obey him. Just do it. Ezekiel could have said, hey, I'm right here. Just tell me right now. So what happens? So he says here, go up and go to the plain and I'll speak to you. And remember the context. Ezekiel was sovereignly brought by the Spirit of the Lord to the river where the exiles were. And after 7 days, the Lord came to him. Verse 3:16, the word of the Lord came to him. Ezekiel's not in his presence, but his word came to him, you see? And he says, get up and go to the plain, and there I will speak to you. So what does Ezekiel do? He says, take a nap, go play cards. What does he do? He says, verse 23, so I got up and went out to the plain. That's the right thing to do. God tells you what to do, and he tells us what to do. It's much clearer. Ezekiel's got commands here that are clear, but we have a lot of commands that are very clear. Ezekiel obeys right away. He obeyed right away. Now, it's interesting. In the Hebrew, there's a vav consecutive starting out this verse, which means it's an action. It's a continuing action. Boom, 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 boom. He does it right away. God says, go to the plain. He gets up, goes to the plain. You see, delayed obedience is no obedience at all. Ezekiel obeyed right away. You know, we can rationalize delayed obedience pretty well. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what the truth is, and we can rationalize that. No, no, no. Obey the Lord right away. Think of your children. You ask them to do something, they don't do it right away. That's not obedience. You ask them to do it. Ezekiel obeyed right away. So what happens when he obeys and goes to the valley or the plain? So I got up and went out to the plain, and behold! He didn't say behold for the voice speaking to him earlier, the Lord's voice, but now he says, behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there like the glory which I saw by the river Shebar. He says, behold, behold, look, the glory of the Lord was standing there. And it's the same glory that is like what he saw at the river Shebar. You might remember back in chapter 1. Where we had the angels and the cherubim and the wheels and the expanse and the throne above the expanse and the glory of the Lord. Look back in chapter 1, verse 26. Now above the expanse that was over their heads, that's the cherubim, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance, and on that which resembled the throne high was a figure with the appearance, it says here, of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upward something like glowing metal, looked like fire all around within it, and from the appearance of his loins downward, I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance around him, let's say him, as the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. Here we have the same thing happening, basically. He says he sees the glory of the Lord like what he saw there, but he's not on the throne. He's standing. He's standing there. He was on the throne. And now he is standing in the valley, and Ezekiel is brought to him. The Lord himself has condescended to Ezekiel to speak to him. And Ezekiel obeyed, and God revealed himself to him. Ezekiel didn't go, he wouldn't have revealed himself. You see, I believe we can gain some principles, some secondary principles here, that obedience leads to an accurate view of God. And disobedience obscures your view of God. You say, Greg, you're stretching it here. Well, am I? If Ezekiel didn't obey God, he would not have seen him in his glory. We certainly know that. Jesus reveals this marvelous principle in John 14. John 14, 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. You know, if you're walking in a love relationship with the Lord, obeying him, God is going to disclose himself to you by his Spirit through his word. And sin gets in the way. You see, when you obey the Lord, you get a better view of God from his word. I want to ask you, is your view of God accurate? Or is sin obscuring your view of the Lord? If you've got sin in your life, your view is all messed up. You hear people say they're believers and you have them talk about the Lord and you go, well, it's all messed up. Because sin is obscuring their view. Confess your sin and get a right view of him. So, it says, I got up to the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory which I saw by the river Shebar, and I fell on my face. Now, we're going to see again that God empowers those who humble themselves. Those who humble themselves before him. Ezekiel's reaction when confronted with the glory of the Lord standing there is to fall on his face, just like he did when he was seeing the glory of the Lord on the throne. You know, I don't think we fall on our faces, spiritually speaking, very much. We should be humbling ourselves before him. You know, Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time. I think we have way too much pride. I think we lean on our understanding. We trust in ourselves. We rely on people rather than the Lord. We need to humble ourselves. So he fell on his face. The awesome God, Christ who was on his throne, above all, who sees all, whose way cannot be thwarted, whose commands are carried out perfectly and swiftly, harmonious without deviation, above all, holy, he will judge sin, he has condescended to stand before Ezekiel. Now, we know that God the Son took on human flesh. We know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that the Word, John 1:14, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we know that God the Son, I believe, would appear, we see in the Old Testament. We see that we call it a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. I would say this is one of those pre-incarnate. It was the one who resembled a man on the throne, and now this one who resembled is standing before him. What else could Ezekiel do but fall on his face? Let's yield ourselves and bow. And then notice this, as he humbles himself before the one who is standing before him, the Lord himself, then verse 24 says, the Spirit then entered me and made me stand on my feet. You know what? You bow down and God's going to pick you up, right? Humble yourself and he will exalt you at the proper time. He'll pick you up. The same thing happened in chapter 1 and chapter 2. We see it happens again where Ezekiel humbles himself, falls on his face, and the Spirit enters him and stands him on his feet. So Ezekiel's on his face, humbled before the glory of the Lord, and God raises him up by his Spirit. The Spirit enters him so he can hear and obey, I believe. You see, there is a time to worship, and we got churches, worship, 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 worship. That's all you hear. It's time to bow down. It's time to stand up. God stands us up to obey and listen to his word and to do his will. Now, I believe this is also foreshadowing the fact that the Spirit is involved in the word of God coming forth. The Spirit entered me and made me stand on my feet, and he spoke with me and said to me. This is foreshadowing some New Testament truth, I believe. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture, no prophecy that has been recorded, Scripture, prophecy of Graphe, is of matters of one of those interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. We know in John 16:13, Jesus said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and disclose it to you. We need to have a right view and doctrine and understanding of the Holy Spirit. His role as God has chosen in his sovereignty within the Godhead is to reveal the truth that points to Christ so that Christ would be glorified. When you hear Spirit, 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 run, 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 run. It should be about Christ. Okay. Then the Spirit entered me, verse 24, and made me stand on my feet. He spoke with me. Now we know in Old Testament times the Spirit came upon people to do specific tasks, to empower and anoint such as a king, David, whatever it might be, to others to do certain tasks. And here we have the Spirit entering him to empower him to stand on his feet to hear the word of God. Now we know something amazing has happened. It was a mystery. Something amazing has happened. When Christ came and he was rejected by the Jews, God's plan turned to the Gentiles. And the church, which was a mystery, was revealed. We are in the body of Christ. We are placed in by one Spirit. And we have the Spirit dwelling in us forever as a pledge. And we've been sealed. And indeed, we can't speak of him without his Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, hey, wait till the Spirit comes. Acts 1. And you'll be my witnesses. But wait, you need the Spirit of God. We need to be yielded to the Spirit of God before we can hear his word and if you're called to speak it. So my question is, do you want to serve God? You need to listen to him with humility. You need to come to him with a proper view of him, exalted and glorious. And yet he loves you and he gave himself for you. This is foundational. We must listen to him with humility. We need to take God's word seriously. So how can we accomplish this, accomplish ministry? Notice we have the command here, and he spoke with me, verse 24 at the end, and said to me, go shut yourself up in your house. What kind of ministry is this? I thought I was going to be excited. We got the glory of the Lord here, and something great is going to happen. And what does he command him to do? Go to your house and shut yourself up in there. So how can we accomplish this task? We need a right view of God, with sin taken care of by confessing. We need to humble ourselves before him and listen. And then we need to know that regardless of the opposition that comes, God has allowed it, and we need to serve him and not be discouraged. Notice what it says. It's to shut himself up in his house. Look at verse 25. As for you, son of man, they will put ropes on you and bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. What's God saying? Who's the they here? I mean, the they is the exiles in whom he used to minister to. And he's being warned that they're not going to treat him so well. Guess what? Newsflash. If you are the Lord's, those who aren't the Lord's, who are pretending to be the Lord's, aren't going to treat you very well. They're going to flatter you. They're going to try to gain your advantage on you, but they're not going to treat you well. They, the exiles, they'll put ropes on you, bind you with them so you cannot go out. Remember what the Lord told him earlier. Look back in chapter 2, verse 6. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words. Obviously, they've got little tongue missiles, right? They're going to be swords with their words, right? Jabbing them. The thistles and thorns are with you. That's them, by the way. And you son of scorpions, it's not fun. Neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. As for you, son of man, they will put ropes on you. And they will bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. Now the question is, are these literal ropes? There's a lot of teachers, you might look at their commentaries. I don't suggest you do that, just look at the word. They'll say all kinds of things. These are literal ropes, or these are figurative ropes. That Ezekiel will figuratively be bound. Well, that's great if the text says that, or it shows that, very strictly, but it really seems to be that they're going to tie him up. I mean, I need to take it literally here first, unless there's something to show that it is not literal. We use a literal, grammatical, historical method of interpretation that we might rightly divide the Word of God. But what's the result? Literal, figurative, the same thing. God is allowing the exiles to oppose him and bind him up in a sense. The opposition will inhibit him. It's going to mess with the ministry. It's going to inhibit you. What can we learn from this? Regardless of the opposition you face, recognize God is sovereign. He's going to use it for good, and he has a reason behind allowing it. He's God, we're not. Just trust him. So often we shy away from doing the right thing because of the opposition we might face. This shouldn't be so, because God has allowed it. He's sovereign, and he uses it. Remember what the Lord told Ezekiel earlier. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, that's the exiles, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, I've made your forehead.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, you talked about some important truths that many of us are uncomfortable with.
And Dave, that truth is that sometimes when we obey the Lord, things become difficult. You want to obey the Lord at home and your family, things get difficult. You want to obey it at school or work, things get difficult. You want to obey him at church, things get difficult. But as we've seen, the Lord God is faithful. And when we obey him, we do what he says, we trust him, we abide in Christ, He will strengthen us for the difficulties that will come, and He will enable us to endure. So with this in mind, we're not finished with this wonderful passage, so make plans to join us tomorrow for the next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.